Our Mr. Wren by Sinclair Lewis. Chapter 1. Mr. Wren is Lonely. The ticket-taker of the Nickelorion Moving Picture Show is a public personage who stands out on 14th Street, New York, wearing a gorgeous light blue coat of numerous brass buttons. He nods to all the patrons, and his nod is the most cordial in town. Mr. Wren used to trot down to 14th Street, passing ever so many other shows, just to get that cordial nod, because he had a lonely furnished room for evenings, and for daytime a tedious job that always made his head stuffy. He stands out in the correspondence of the Souvenir and Art Novelty Company as Our Mr. Wren, who would be writing you directly and explaining everything most satisfactorily. At 34, Mr. Wren was the sales entry clerk of the Souvenir Company. He was always bending over bills and columns of figures at a desk behind the stockroom. He was a meek little bachelor, a person of inconspicuous blue ready-made suits and a small unsuccessful mustache. Today, historians have established the date as April 9, 1910, there had been some confusing mixed orders from the Wisconsin retailers, and Mr. Wren had been called down by the office manager, Mr. Mortimer R. Guilfogle. He needed the friendly nod of the Nickelorion ticket-taker. He found 14th Street, after office hours, swept by a dusty wind that whisked the skirts of countless plump Jewish girls whose V-necked blouses showed off soft throats of a warm brown. Under the elevated station he secretly made believe that he was in Paris, for here beautiful Italian boys swayed with trays of violets. A tramp displayed crimson mechanical rabbits which squeaked on silvery leading strings, and a newsstand was heaped with the orange and green and gold of magazine covers. "Gee," inarticulated Mr. Wren, "lots of colors. Hope I see foreign stuff like that in the moving pictures." He came primly up to the Nickelorion, feeling in his vest pockets for a nickel and peering around the booth at the friendly ticket-taker. But the latter was thinking about buying Johnny's pants. Should he get them at the 14th Street store or at Siegel Cooper's or over at Aronson's near home? So ruminating, he twiddled his wheel mechanically, and Mr. Wren's pasteboard slip was indifferently received in the plate-glass gullet of the grinder without the takers even seeing the clerk's bow and smile. Mr. Wren trembled into the door of the Nickelorion. He wanted to turn back and rebuke this fellow, but was restrained by shyness. He had liked the man's "fine evening, sir," rain or shine, but he wouldn't stand for being cut. Wasn't he making $19 a week as against the ticket-taker's 10 or 12? He shook his head with the defiance of a cornered mouse, fussed with his mustache, and regarded the moving pictures gloomily. They helped him. After a Zelig domestic drama came a stirring vitagraph western scene, The Goat of the Rancho, which depicted with much humor and tumult the revolt of a ranch cook, a Chinaman. Mr. Wren was really seeing, not cowpunchers and sagebrush, but himself, defying the office manager's surliness and revolting against the ticket man's rudeness. Now he was ready for the nearly overpowering delight of travel pictures. He bounced slightly as a Gamount film presented Java. He was a connoisseur of travel pictures. For all his life he had been planning a great journey. Though he had done Staten Island and patronized an excursion to Bound Brook, neither of these was his grand tour. It was yet to be taken. In Mr. Wren, apparently fastened to New York like a domestic-minded barnacle, lay the possibilities of heroic roaming. He knew it. He, too, like the man who had taken the Gamount pictures, would saunter among dusky Javan natives in markets with tiles on the roofs and temples and places. The scent of Oriental spices was in his broadened nostrils as he scampered out of the Nickelorion, without a look at the ticket-taker, and headed for home, for his third-floor front on West 16th Street. He wanted to prowl through his collection of steamship brochures for a description of Java, but, of course, when one's landlady has both the sciatica and a case of patient suffering, one stops in the basement dining room to inquire how she is. Mrs. Zapp was a fat landlady. When she sat down, there was a straight line.